Okay, so you know how pop culture always paints hell as this fiery pit with like demons and pitchforks and all that? Well, today we're going to do a deep dive into what Jesus actually taught about hell. Because, and you might not know this, but he talked about it more than anyone else in the Bible.
It's true, yeah.
So we're going to look at a bunch of verses and we're going to talk about all the different ways people interpret them.
I think that's important because, well, honestly, jumping right into these verses is like, I don't know, like trying to read the last page of a mystery novel first.
Yeah, I guess you get the ending, but you miss all the good stuff that makes it so interesting, right?
Exactly. You got to understand the context, you know? We got to go back to first century Palestine. The culture, what people believed, even the language Jesus used was all so different from what we're used to.
Okay, I'm starting to see how important context is here.
All right.
But, like, let's be real. Hell is a scary word. Just saying, it kind of sends shivers down my spine.
Yeah, I get it.
And some of these verses we're going to look at, they don't hold back. They're pretty intense.
Right.
Like that one from Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus is warning his disciples that they're going to face persecution. And he tells them, "Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell."
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty heavy stuff. So
Right.
hell is a real place. That much is clear. But what does destroy actually mean in this context?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? It's where we get into all sorts of different interpretations. You know, some people believe in eternal conscious torment.
Right, like suffering forever and ever.
Yeah, basically. And then there's another idea called annihilationism.
Annihilationism.
Yeah, which is the idea that those who are wicked are, well, completely destroyed, they just cease to exist.
So, like, two very different ideas: eternal suffering versus poof, you're gone.
It's a tough one, for sure. It all comes down to how people understand God's justice and mercy. Is punishment forever, or is there an end to it?
Man, there's a lot to unpack here.
There really is.
Yeah. So, and this is going to get intense again, but let's talk about those descriptions of hell, like the fire and the worms, the darkness. It's a pretty vivid imagery.
Definitely.
Like in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, there's this one part where Jesus says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out." And then a little bit later, he talks about these worms that never die and this fire that's never quenched. It's hard not to imagine a literal fiery pit when you hear that.
I totally get it. But remember that back then, fire and worms, they were pretty symbolic. Fire was like a symbol of purification, you know,
Yeah.
like burning away impurities. And worms, well, they represented decay and, well, you know, decomposition.
Oh, I see. So it's not necessarily about actual flames and creepy crawlies.
Right. It could be more about like a spiritual kind of destruction, like when a soul is completely consumed by sin and totally separated from God.
Okay, I get it. That adds a whole new level of meaning. And there are other stories too that give us a glimpse into what hell might be like. Like, have you ever heard that parable of the rich man and Lazarus?
Yeah, it's from Luke chapter 16, right?
Exactly. This rich guy is living it up, completely ignoring Lazarus, this poor, sick man who's right there at his gate. But when they both die, their situations are totally reversed. Lazarus is comforted, and the rich man is tormented, begging for just a single drop of water. It's like a punch to the gut.
Yeah.
It really shows you the agony of being separated from God.
It definitely does. And, you know, that parable wasn't just about the afterlife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was also reflecting the social and economic problems of Jesus's time. Remember, he was always using stories to challenge injustice.
Right.
So it's like he was calling his followers and us today to, you know, actually do something, to have compassion and fight for justice, to see those in need and help them.
Yeah. It's like a call to action, to actually live out Jesus's teachings. And it makes me think about all those times when Jesus warned people about hell, urging them to avoid it at all costs. Like in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. It's intense, he says. "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell."
Wow.
I mean, he's not messing around, is he? What do you make of that?
I think it's obviously is using hyperbole, you know, exaggerating to make a point. But it's like a wake-up call. Turning away from sin isn't easy. It takes, you know, serious commitment. It's not just about, like, avoiding bad stuff. It's about changing your heart, your mind, your whole way of thinking. You have to choose to live a life that aligns with God.
So that's where repentance comes in, right?
Exactly. It's not about being punished. It's about turning away from sin and turning towards God. It's about choosing faith.
So these teachings aren't just about fire and brimstone. They're about choices, right? Uh-huh. About the path we decide to walk. And well, that path brings us to another crucial part of what Jesus taught, salvation. The hope of finding forgiveness, the promise of eternal life. It seems like that message of hope is the flip side of all this talk about hell.
I think you're right. They're two sides of the same coin. These verses aren't just about being afraid of punishment. They're about God's incredible love for us.
Right.
And they're about understanding that our choices have real consequences. They're a call to look at ourselves, you know, to admit that we need forgiveness, and ultimately to seek a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. It's a journey of hope.
So our choices matter, not just now, but forever. As we finish up this deep dive, I have one last question for you to think about.
Okay.
If these teachings about hell are supposed to help us live more meaningful lives, what can we do, like right now, to make sure we're on the right path?